This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is sharing a special series called Pictures of Jesus. Now here's Pastor Sandy in Isaiah chapter 28 with a new message called A Sure Foundation.
There is a concept in art known as appropriation. It's when an artist takes objects from the real world and then arranges them on a canvas to create a new thought. Here's a good example of art appropriation. It was done by Pablo Picasso in 1913. It's titled Glass, Guitar, and Newspaper. See what he's doing? He's pulling together already existing images and repositioning them in order to create a new point of view. We don't usually think of the Apostle Peter as an artistic appropriationist. But that is what he does here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. He takes three Old Testament passages, two from Isaiah and one from Psalms, and he positions them side by side to create a new context and thus new thoughts. Peter quotes Isaiah 28, verse 16, Psalm 118, verse 22, and then Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14. He rearranges them, he applies them to Jesus, and he creates a new stream of thought concerning the Messiah. Not bad for a simple fisherman. It's amazing what a person can do under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We've been studying portraits of Jesus in the prophecy of Isaiah, and we're finding the book of Isaiah to be full of such snapshots. Each week, we've been filling in our picture frames with masterpieces. Jesus is the root of Jesse. He is a sign for Ahaz. He is the Messiah. He is Emmanuel. He is the first and the last. He is a great light, and he is a splint and a flint. And this morning, we're going to see Jesus as the Apostle Peter saw him through Isaiah's eyes, as a sure foundation. Remember, the prophet wrote 700 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he saw Jesus more clearly than many of our Lord's contemporaries. The insights that God gave Isaiah concerning Jesus amaze us, and they give us a better understanding of this man that we have pledged to follow. This morning, I want us to read the three Old Testament passages that Peter quotes in their original context, and then how he appropriates them into his portrait of Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to put the Old Testament verses up on the big screen for you, and then we'll read 1 Peter chapter 2 from our Bibles. First, Isaiah 28, verse 16. It reads, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." And then Psalm 118, we'll read verses 22 and 23. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." And third, he adds a line from Isaiah chapter 8, and we'll read verses 13 to 15. "The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken, be snared and taken." Now let's read how this all comes together here in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture." And first he quotes Isaiah 28, verse 16. "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, and now he inserts two more prophetic verses. One, Psalm 118. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And a second, Isaiah 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And then he says to those who refuse to believe, they stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Now, the first thing you can't help but to notice from Peter's portrait and from the verses in Isaiah that support him is that Jesus is a stone and you and I are little stones. He uses these parallels in the context of construction. You see, God is building a spiritual house, call it a temple, and these stones are God's building materials. Peter was a first century fisherman, and of course he wasn't familiar with modern construction. He knew nothing of 2x4s and metal studs and steel beams and drywall and split face block. When Peter built, it was by assembling ordinary stones. Thus, in the spiritual house that Peter describes, God is erecting stones. He's putting together various stones, and thus he refers to Jesus as the cornerstone, and he refers to us as living stones. Now, it's funny, but if you're from my generation, when you hear the expression, the Stones, you probably think of a famous rock and roll band, the Rolling Stones. You see, the Rolling Stones, they've been touring the globe now for over half a century. But if you haven't noticed lately, these guys are looking pretty old. Did you know that this year Mick Jagger turned 72? Time is no longer on his side. In fact, this kind of got me thinking, maybe the Stones need to rewrite some of their songs in order to make their music more relevant to their aging band members. Here are the top 10 suggestions for the senior Rolling Stones. Number 10, I can't get no satisfaction could become I can't get no circulation. Number 9, let's spend the night together. That could be let's take a nap together. Number 8, it's only rock and roll, but I like it. That would be it's only Geritol, but I like it. Number 7, I want to be your man. You could change that to I want your health care plan. Number 6, like a rolling stone. That could be like a kidney stone. Number 5, give me shelter. You could change that to give me a tax shelter. Number 4, brown sugar. How about brown Splenda? Jumping Jack Flash. That would be hip replacement Jack Flash. Hot stuff. That would be better. Hot flash. And then number 1, you can't always get what you want. I can hear it now. You can't always chew what you want. Excuse my diversion. For the stones that I want to talk about today are the living stones, not the rolling stones. The living stones are also a rock and roll band. We are a band of people that have been founding on the rock. And when you live for Jesus, you're always on a roll. We're called to Jesus, and we're called together to make beautiful music to God. Peter calls us a temple of praise. The Rolling Stones can't get no satisfaction, but there is nothing more satisfying than being a living stone. Now, pulling from Isaiah 28 and 8, and then Psalm 118, Peter makes three observations about Jesus that I want to focus on this morning. He is a living stone. He is a cornerstone, and he is a stumbling stone. Here are three portraits appropriated into one. Peter begins these thoughts in verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone. Now, throughout the Bible, the Messiah is referenced as a rock, as a cliff, even as a mountain. Jesus is like a huge boulder, a huge cliff. He's strong, he's sturdy, he's steady, he's unbreakable. Our Lord is the bedrock of the truth. You see, like a rock, he is a refuge from the storm. Like a rock, he is a fortress that can withstand the enemy. Like a rock, he is a missile sent from heaven's sling to shatter the kingdoms of this world. You could say, Jesus is stone mountain tough. He's deep, and he's wide, and he's large, and he's granite-like. Jesus rises and hovers over the horizon as a great hope for our future, but he's also a durable foundation on which we can build our lives today. It reminds me of the vacation that Jesus and his disciples, they took at a crucial time in his ministry. They journeyed north toward Lebanon and to the base of Mount Hermon, to a place called Caesarea Philippi. It was here that Peter uttered his great confession. When Jesus asked his men, "Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" It was Peter who answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus promised him, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Now here's where you had to have been there. Peter, or Petros, is the masculine form of the noun. And it referred to a little rock, a pebble, something small. In fact, there is a brook at Caesarea Philippi. Perhaps Jesus reached down into that brook and he pulled out a few pebbles. He held them in his hand and he says, "This is Peter, a little pebble." But then he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And he drew a contrast. For right over Jesus' shoulder at Caesarea Philippi, there is a huge, massive rock face. Thus Jesus says, "Upon this Petra," the feminine form, "I will build my church." Petra is the feminine form of the noun. It refers to a cliff or to a rock wall. The rock that Jesus spoke of was himself. He was saying, in contrast to Peter, a little pebble, Jesus is a great mountain. You and I are little stones, but Jesus is the rock on which we must build. Like I say, you had to have been there. But Peter had been there, and he never forgot this analogy. Jesus is the strong foundation on which his church sits. Here Peter encourages us to come to him as to a stone. Jesus is sturdy like a stone. And yet it's hard to warm up or cuddle up to a rock, isn't it? This is why Peter calls him a living stone. Yes, he's tough, but he's also tender. Yes, he looms large, but he loves deeply. You could say Jesus is a warm-blooded rock. Hey, if you're with Jesus, you're never between a rock and a hard place, for Jesus is a soft spot in this cold, hard world. In fact, it's only by coming to him that we find rest. And then notice what else Isaiah 28 says of Jesus. Peter quotes it in verse 6. "He is elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." Did you know that Jesus was elected? Not by us. I mean, this is the problem with politicians today. I mean, they have to run for re-election to maintain their office. This means they tell their electorate what they want to hear to get re-elected, and then they go back to Washington and they do as they like. But Jesus was elected not by a human constituency. He was elected by God Almighty in a landslide vote, by the way. And thus, Jesus' only responsibility is to please the Father, to do his will. And the Father loves honesty, integrity. Thus, Jesus does as he says. He always keeps his promises. Jesus can be trusted. He's not a moving target. There's nothing fickle about our Lord's decisions and directions. He's solid. He is a rock on which we can lean. And he's precious. In the world of gemstones, there are two classical categories. There are precious, and then there are semi-precious jewels. Precious stones are the diamond and the ruby and the sapphire and the emerald. Traditionally speaking, these are the rarest and the best quality and the most expensive stones. All other minerals are called semi-precious. Well, among men, Jesus is precious of the precious. He is the rarest. No one else is like him. Born of a virgin, he has divine origins. He is the only Son of God. He is also the best quality human to ever walk this planet. Jesus was sinless, even in the heat of battle, and he is most valuable. Nothing is as important to the Father as his Son, and thus it spoke volumes of his love for us when God sacrificed Jesus in our place. Jesus is a living stone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. I mean, what kind of person do you think he is? Trust in Jesus and he'll run to your aid. Rather than put us to shame, Jesus helps us save face. He offers us forgiveness and peace and a pardon. He provides us a way out. Trust Jesus and he'll never leave you high and dry or up a creek without a paddle or even out on a limb. Jesus is a living stone. But notice in verse 5, Peter takes it a step further. For you also, he says, are living stones. You could say that we Christians, we're chips off the old block. We take after Jesus. Jesus is the living stone, but we're also little stones. We're alive with the life of Christ in us. He breathes and loves and moves and cares through us. And his Holy Spirit makes us strong. In Christ, we are rock solid. And Peter says that all these living stones are being built up into a spiritual house. Another name for a spiritual house is a temple. Did you know that God is into building temples? But he builds different types. In the Old Testament, a stone structure stood on top of Mount Moriah there in Jerusalem. But in the New Testament, the spiritual house is made up of living stones. You and I are being joined together as a house for God. You see, the church is not a literal building. It's not brick and mortar. It's a people group. We are the building materials. We are the stones that God assembles on site. God is fitting us all together. See, here's how it works. The transforming power of Jesus, it sobers us up. You know, some of you have gone from being stoned to now being stones. Faith in Jesus makes us spiritually alive. You know, the Jewish temple had limestone walls, but Jesus is building a spiritual temple with live stone walls. Each of us has a place in his church. This is why I say, don't be off the wall. Find your place on the wall. Here's your opportunity to join the band. In Christ, you're a living stone, and you have a role in this spiritual house that God is currently constructing. You know, it's interesting. In the Old Testament temple that was built by Solomon, the Bible tells us that the stones were quarried off-site in an area just north of the city's walls. In fact, today you can drive by this spot and you can see the remains of the ancient quarry. The stones were cut and chiseled and fitted at the quarry so they could easily be assembled on site. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7 tells us why. It says, the temple, when it was built with stone finished at the quarry so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. God didn't want the temple to be a noisy place. The temple was not your typical construction site. It was a place of peace and rest. You went to the temple to worship God and to rest from your work. God didn't want its halls filled with noise and banging and sawing. So he had the stones sized and chiseled and fitted together at the quarry. Once the stones were custom fitted, then they were delivered to the Temple Mount and they were assembled according to plan. You see, you and I are like those ancient stones. And the work that God does, making us fit and then fitting us together, is what God is doing in the world today. But here's what we need to remember. The world that we live in is the quarry. Heaven is the temple. And the temple is the place of peace and rest and worship. God doesn't want construction noises heard in heaven. You'll never hear any banging and drilling and sawing when you get to heaven. That's what God does in this life. So, when you get banged around a bit, and you get drilled on, and you get chiseled away and chopped at and whittled down to size, realize that's what's supposed to be happening in this life. Hey, we are living in the quarry. This life is a construction zone. Don't be surprised when your rough edges get sanded down. That's what God wants to do. That your ends get leveled off, that your jagged exterior gets broken away and polished up. Oh, it's loud and dusty and noisy and chaotic in the quarry. But that's where the important work gets done. And this is where our cooperation becomes necessary. For the difference between living stones and limestone is that living stones have a mind of their own. They can jump up and run off when they think the cutting gets too severe. They can try to escape when the chiseling gets uncomfortable. You see, we can thwart the work that God wants to do by trying to escape the axe or dodge the drill or avoid the hammer. I mean, who wants to get nailed by the Holy Spirit? Well, I hope we all do. This is often what happens when a person changes jobs or when they leave a church or when they try to avoid a friend. God is creating an uncomfortable situation. Why? They're being quarried. They're being worked on. And rather than submit to it, they want to escape. Rather than let God have his work, they want to avoid it. God is carving and shaping and piecing us together, but we have to cooperate. Don't bolt. Don't run. Don't try to escape. Always remember, heaven doesn't start until we get to heaven. You need to remember that. Everybody's looking for a piece of heaven here on earth. It doesn't exist. Heaven doesn't start until we get to heaven. For now, God is working on us in the quarry. He is building a temple of praise by fitting us all together. And it's only when he's done that he'll ship us off to heaven and we'll be the temple that he'll occupy for all eternity. Well, Jesus is a living stone, but he is also a cornerstone. And this comes straight out of the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 16. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Visit the countrysides of England and Europe, and you'll find all these old stone churches. Christians have met in these churches for 1,000 years. When you build a rock church, you intend for it to last a long, long time. And the critical stone in these churches is the cornerstone. It becomes the linchpin, the keystone. Pull it out and the whole structure topples like a house of cards. The cornerstone is the one stone on which all the other stones lean and rest. It becomes the heart and hub of the entire house. And this is true of Jesus. He is our chief cornerstone. You see, a true believer will build his or her life with Jesus as their hub. Everything in their life will lean and rest on Jesus. Everything will go back to Jesus. Lots of people like the idea of looking religious. They'll tip their hat to Christianity from time to time. They'll make Jesus a brick in what they're building. They'll fit him snugly into one of the walls, but not much really depends on him. In fact, they can ignore him for days when it's convenient to do so. They can even pull him out of his slot for a time, and nothing much will change in their life. I mean, nothing really rests on Jesus' involvement in the first place. But you see, Jesus is more than a brick. He is the cornerstone. Everything in my life needs to revolve around Jesus and lean on Jesus. How I do my work, how I manage my finances, how I express my sexuality, and make friends and form decisions, how one dates and marries and parents and vacations and hangs out. Everything in my life needs to be influenced by Jesus. Everything is intertwined with him. He is a sure foundation, but only to those who dig deep and build every perspective and approach to life on him. A few years ago, Yahoo Travel published a list of America's most overrated tourist attractions. Most overrated tourist attractions. Number one on the list was Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco. Coming in second was the Petrified Forest in Arizona. Third was Wall Street in New York City. And fourth on the list of most overrated tourist stops was Plymouth Rock. I've been to 3 of the 4, and trust me, Plymouth Rock is hands down the lamest tourist destination in all of America. It's just a pebble. It's not even a rock.
Being on the go is something we're all accustomed to in this culture. The hustle and bustle of life seems to make the days just fly by. For most of us, our smartphones are sort of an extension of our bodies, constantly ringing and dinging, telling us where to be and what the next appointment is. The technology that we enjoy in this day and age is amazing. And while there's certainly no end to the bad things we can find online and through our smartphones, There's also some great kingdom-minded options. We'd like to invite you to download the Sandy Adams mobile app. Our mobile app is available for iPhone, Android, and Windows smartphones. Or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the link from the main menu. When you download the app, you'll be able to listen to the most recent messages taught by Pastor Sandy, browse the series archive, and search the archive alphabetically. Finally, when you download the mobile app, you'll also have the opportunity to join us live for our Sunday morning worship service right from your smartphone. Again, to download the Sandy Adams mobile app, simply enter Sandy Adams in the search options of your smartphone's app store, or log on to sandyadams.org and simply click on the mobile app option right on the homepage. And please join us again as Pastor Sandy continues teaching through the Bible right here on Sandy Adams Radio.